Father, we just come before you with thankful hearts. You are an amazing God. You are in control. We see your working power whenever we just simply look around. We're thankful for your love. We're thankful that we can be your sons and daughters filled with your grace. Amen. So we need to trust God. We are not in control. He is in control. I'm going to be talking about resurrection today and all week long. Whenever I'm preaching about my family, gets to hear about it. So resurrection and regeneration. I had a couple of stories to share. I'm going to go with this one. My mother went to pick up a dust bunny. Yes, we have dust bunnies. Off of the floor. When she went to pick it up, she leaned over the wrong way and started to go down. I was in the kitchen, she was in the living room. My father jumped up as I quickly tried to make my way over, and they both kind of went down gently. My father was letting her down gently. By the time I got there, she was sprawled on the floor and he was laying over her. And I promptly said, "You may not wrestle on my living room floor." Just praise God, she did not hit her head, and they were both kind of laughing at that point. But it is very frustrating for my mother. And my dad got up okay, and then we called Matthew down. And talk about regeneration or resurrection. I said, "Man, on the count of three, let's pick up Mama." And so we went 1, 2, 3, and she went, "Whoop, way up in the sky." And we were like, okay, next time, she's 110 pounds, next time we need to be more gently. But the idea that we just lifted her up and she was like, "Hey, that was kind of easy," with love and support, we got her back on her feet. And so, you know, that notion when we do pass away, like how quickly will we be with the Lord? It's just an amazing thought. Being saved occurs through God's grace and mercy, not by our own deeds. God has mercy on us. Resurrection, regeneration of the sinner is a gift from our God. We need to be shouting for joy that God had come and that he saves us. Jesus is in our hearts. We need to be able to share that, and perhaps that will bring us even more joy if we are sharing with others about the love of Christ that we have in our hearts. Dead in trespasses and sins, what can a dead man do? A spiritually dead man can do nothing to change his or her situation. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, all men and women are born of sin. Titus 3:5 reads, "He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit." Sandra shared a little bit of the dry bones story found in Ezekiel 37. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley full of bones." Ezekiel asked, Ezekiel was receiving a vision from the Lord. And the Lord had asked him, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then he said, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to the bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life, and then you will know that I am Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesizing, there was a noise, a rattling noise, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say it, that this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. God has always resurrected those who believe. What a gift. We can be freed from the sins that enslave us. Ezekiel's vision was shared and shared and retold to help us trust and to truly be thankful for our salvation and to learn that we should share the gospel with others. That brings us to life as well. When you are sharing the good news with others, when you're in a good conversation about faith, that brings us to life as well. There is resurrection, and in resurrection, we will be with God. Ezekiel's vision from the Lord was an act of God. The vision had him in the middle of a field after Nebuchadnezzar and his troops were slaughtered by Babylon. Total death, bodies lying there for years and years. The exiles of Israel. There was a deadness of hope in the Lord. No trust. Ezekiel was happy to prophesy to the dry bones to restored life. Charles Spurgeon said, since apart from the Spirit we are powerless, we must value greatly every movement of his power. Notice in this account of the vision in the valley how the prophet draws attention to the fact of the shaking and the noises and the coming of the sinews, which is the tendons and the ligaments regrowing, and the flesh. Even before there was any sign of life, I think that if we want the Spirit of God to bless us, we must be on the watch to notice everything he does. Do you notice the flowers blooming? Do you notice the smiles on the people in the grocery stores, those that don't have masks? Do you notice the way people love you? Are they calling you? Are you calling others to say, I love you? Watch to notice everything he does. He's in the big stuff, and God is in the small stuff. The revival of Israel also included the restoration of the land. Pastor David Guzik has written, God would powerfully reveal himself to Israel through this great work of revival and restoration to the land. Trust that he is in control. The breath in the revived bones was more than the breath of humans. It was the spirit of the living God. If we put, Pastor Guzik writes, if we put the modern servant of God in Ezekiel's place, we can make the following observation. So this is for us. God's servant must know that the bones are dead and dry. God's servant must walk among the dead, must speak God's word, must have almost a foolish confidence in God's word. Total belief. God's servant must understand that the Spirit works in process. His work is in process. God's Spirit must recognize that the work of the Holy Spirit is essential. Praying for the Spirit to move must occur. Speaking the power of faith must occur. God's servant must notice every evidence of the Spirit's work. God's servant must look for God's people to be revived into an army of service. God's servant must not say that hope is lost. When you're watching TV and the news of Ukraine and Russia comes on, I have not seen, I hope, I'm not sure if any of you have, but I have not seen people saying all hope is lost. They're singing in the subways. They're gathering together to share their faith. Jim McDermott wrote an article in Faith in Focus, and in it he includes several stories that have been collected to provide a Stations of the Cross activity, and it is titled, God of Peace, Rescue Your Family, Unite Our Family, End This War. So it's from the things that he has seen and the words that he has heard about what's happening in Ukraine. In the first situation, this happens to be at the first Station of the Cross where they were practicing this, they would say, we ask God to help us share in the shock and horror felt by the people of Ukraine today. Jesus is condemned to death. So we're making the reflection between Jesus' death and the horror that the people are feeling in Ukraine. The current Russian invasion of Ukraine began for us like a Soviet movie. Early in the morning, at 5:15, I was woke up abruptly by the sound of a flying fighter jet. My husband looked at the phone and said it had begun. After another 15 minutes, we heard another terrible explosion, and the house shook, and I ran to my child's bedroom. The picture I saw there will remain in me as an illustration of war. My 10-year-old, thin, in his pajamas, still sleeping, was lying under his bed, curled up, covering his head with his hands, and at the same time, he was calm. He did just what I taught him. 2 days before, I was indignant that he did not know how to tie his shoes. God of peace, in Lent, you draw us together to witness the depth of your love for us. Allow that love now to intercede in the invasion of Ukraine. Rescue your children, unite your family, end this war. Another station. On the morning of February 25th, I did not plan to go anywhere. I wanted to be at home, bake bread in my favorite oven, my own oven, grow flowers in my backyard. There was no talk of evacuation. On the contrary, my parents and eldest daughter and their friends came to our house in the suburb of Kiev. But by lunchtime, everything had changed. I had thrown some of the things in the car. I took the children. I took our dog. Our eldest daughter refused to leave. My parents also stayed at home. I will never forgive the occupiers of my mother's words. We have already lived our lives. You save the children. Yes, we understand for 8 years that the attack on us was a matter of time. Yes, we were taught the Jewish wisdom of the Holocaust. Believe those who say, I want to kill you. And still it is impossible to be ready for this. When it happens, the brain denies it. Lord, grant us a feeling of dislocation. Let us pause and lift the people of Ukraine and Russia up in prayer at this time. God of peace, rescue your children, unite the families, and end this war. May your servants boldly pray for the Spirit to move. Speak in the power of faith. Notice every evidence of the Spirit's work. look for God's people to be revived in an army of service. May God's servants not say that hope is lost. Amen. For believers, hope is not lost. Envision the family of Lazarus as he walked out of the tomb after lying dead for 4 days. What would people of that time have thought? Those believers would be rejoicing. The unbelievers, what were they thinking? Resurrection means a rising up or a rising up from the or a rising up, raising up or a rising up from the Greek word anastasis. In the verb form, it means to cause or to stand or rise up, to be raised from sleeping or to be raised from the dead. Lazarus was in the tomb for 4 days. Prior to his death, his sisters had gone, had sent someone to go and get Jesus, and Jesus purposefully waited because he wanted the lesson to be learned. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, and Mary stayed at home. And Martha said, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they will die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and he is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. And now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And when Jesus saw her weeping, and Jesus, who had come along with her, was also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. And then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." And Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" He's encouraging belief and trust and knowledge that we will see the glory of God. And so they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." God is in control. Amen. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Jesus wept. His human nature is emphasized as he weeps. He stood at the tomb and he said, "Move that stone." And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Death had not triumphed. If Martha and Mary had not trusted or believed in God, they would not have experienced the glory of Jesus' work in the fulfillment of God's plan. They asked specifically what they needed. They needed their son to be alive, or excuse me, their brother to be alive. And when followers enter into his purpose, God is glorified. The women wanted to be used for the purpose of God's love. Those who were there knew they saw the work of God. Their trust in Jesus only grew deeper. We learn so many lessons from the experiences that we have. If something sad has happened to your life, reflect upon it, pray upon it, and know that God is teaching us. If something joyful has happened in your life, reflect upon it. Know that Jesus is teaching us from every experience. Jesus can bring life out of nothing. In our waiting for new life, may he bless us with love and hope. Let's pray. Come out, Jesus cries, calling us from our tombs into the world of grace and possibility. Go out, Jesus commands, calling us into the world to live as God's resurrected people. We ask, dear Lord, for your continued love and compassion to be shown to those who are grief-stricken, who are scared, and who are ill. Thank you, Jesus, that you see our tears, that you remember our tears, you are touched by our tears, and you act to dry our tears. May the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ. Amen. If there's any response or questions to the sermon before we move on to communion, we can take that time now. May your week be filled with moments of learning gifts from Jesus. So we're going to sing a song, and then we will stay standing as we move into communion.